is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Oil, natural gas, the world needs everything. During the conflict in Europe and afterwards, Joe Pappalardo for Popular Mechanics and other distinguished publications is here to introduce us to one of the nodes that the planet is going to depend upon over these next years to account for the enmity in Europe and the demand as the nations of the world grow ever larger and more prosperous. They need energy. Joe, a very good day to you. I go to an article that you published recently that begins with a challenging climb by yourself. This is a pilot's boat meeting the Hong Kong Spirit, the very large container ship, very, very large container ship, largest container ship, largest ship perhaps on the planet, entering Corpus Christi's channel. You have to climb up the side, and there's a photograph of someone climbing. Joe, how did you make it? Good day to you, Joe.
Good day. Nice to be here. The main thing about the ladder was no one told me that I'd have to do it, so there was no worrying about it. The Aransas Pass pilots didn't actually tell me how that was going to work. So you're staring up at a sheer wall with a rope and wooden ladder 75 feet high, and there are no safety nets or harness. There's just water beneath you, and it doesn't look like those big ships move very much, but when you're scrambling up the side like a fly, you feel every wave, you feel all the motion, and it's an interesting way of introducing being introduced to the world of the pilots who guide these giant tankers in, and those on board who are. It was a Chinese flag vessel, so it was a Chinese crew, and you get that international feel of what's happening here in South Texas is really a global event that happens every single day.
Very large crude carrier. Where are you bound that you need pilots? What does it look like, Joe?
So when you pull into the terminals at Aransas Pass, it's a very, very narrow channel. And what you see is it looks like a canal, right, with, you know, supports on both sides. But what you don't see under the surface is that the depth is only suitable for these giant ships in a very, very narrow, basically there's only room for one ship at a time. That's how narrow it is. And there's soft mud on each side. So it's very perilous to get in there. And it's not a straight line either. There's a dog leg almost. It looks like a gentle turn, but when you're in an enormous vessel that doesn't have any bow thrusters, you really have to do it exactly right. So these pilots get on board and take over from the captains and guide the vessels in and coordinate with the tugboats that are needed as well. So it's a very delicate dance. And these ships are so huge that the swells on either side form these breakers that people actually surf on. You see them on the sides catching these waves on the way in, which is pretty dangerous. But if you're a good surfer, it's some of the best waves around. So it's a very dynamic scene out here and changing very, very quickly.
I worried about the tugboats, the flotilla of tugboats easily could be crushed along the sides. Everybody's very careful as they approach this thing. Once it gets going, Joe, it's going to, I remember that container ship that crashed into the Suez Canal, that it felt like I was taking that kind of risk. After climbing a 75 foot high ladder with you, I thought this is not going to end well. The pilots, the captain, the crew, the flotilla of tugboats, this goes on every day in order to get oil to the rest of the planet. Is this boat coming in empty? Is that how it's managing the channel?
Yeah, the trick here is that the boats are coming in empty and leaving fully loaded, which is the pilots have noted that is a big change for down here back then. Right now, it's, you know, this is the largest export, number one crude export, number two export for liquid natural gas. And for refined products, too, it's number three. So this is a huge export node, and that hasn't always been the case. So they come in empty. The problem is that the channel can't accommodate a VLCC if it is fully loaded. So they only load it partially, and then they have to top it off offshore. So that one of the reasons why they are dredging the channel is to be able to load them to full capacity and then leave without having to stop and top off, you know, doing that offshore, which no one wants to do. Environmentalists don't want it. The companies don't want it. The port doesn't. No one wants that. So that's sort of the backstory there. They can't full up port side because they wouldn't be able to get out because the channel's not deep enough.
And what is to be deepening it? What is to be done is infrastructure. Now we come to the engineering part of this challenge. You've got a narrow channel. It's only so deep. You've got these gigantic ships. You've got demand everywhere, especially with the embargo in Eurasia. And you have Sean Strawbridge, who is the CEO of the Port of Corpus Christi, which is called the Sparkling City by the Sea. The money's showing up. What money, and what are they going to do with it?
Well, previous to this year, there's been a lot of federal money and a lot of local money as well. The Corps of Engineers has put in over $100 million, over $120 million in on some of these projects. The dredging has already begun. And now comes the new federal budget that has $157 million just for 1 year, just to work on that dredging and work on deepening the channel. So there's federal money, there's local money, there's the local investment. The companies are investing huge amounts of money in infrastructure. We can talk about liquid natural gas in this area, but also there's enormous facilities that are being built to store the crude oil as well. There's infrastructure that needs to be done because not all the crude oil is suitable for sale because it's not heavy enough or too heavy. So they have to convert it to these new markets. So the companies are investing in that. So everyone is really going all in on this sort of energy boom down here, and it's changing the landscape.
The money's coming from Washington combined with local money. Is that going to change this challenge that you on board the Spirit had? There's something called the La Quinta Junction through the chemical turning basin. You know, this sounds like a game of Risk here. To the port's inner harbor. Is the chemical turning basin going to become easier to manage? This looks extremely dangerous.
It's the danger is mitigated by the professionalism of the pilots and the amount of times they've done this. But yeah, the pace is increasing. Widening the channel will undoubtedly make it safer. There's this delicate dance where if two ships of any size are passing each other, they can't do it at the same time. They have to stop, communicate, move around each other. It makes it a lot more complex. Complex means more dangerous. So they're widening it as well as deepening it to accommodate that traffic and increase the margins in case something does go wrong. It's not going to shut down the entire canal and there's some maneuvering room. So it'll be a lot more forgiving in the future than it is right now. It'll still be a challenge because the traffic is up, but given the better circumstances, I think the pilots can handle it. I was very impressed with the Aransas Pass pilots during my time with them. I have to say they know what they're doing. It's sort of the tugboat drivers.
The geopolitics are about to enter the stage. The embargo of Russian oil. Russian oil was flowing to the United States through the port of Corpus Christi, supplying 8%, but that, you know, life is lived on the margins, 8%. So that needs to be replaced. In addition, we need more oil. The world needs more oil. For heaven's sakes, you know, Joe, we're negotiating with Venezuela and with the Gulf for more oil. We have more oil, but where is it? And how is it going to get to Corpus Christi?
Well, that's just the trick. I mean, the port always says look to the pipelines. We have to get more oil, more product to the coast to export. So getting that there is a real trick, and pipelines are a big part of it. The infrastructure that the companies bring in, the regulatory environment, it's got to be drill and build and pipelines, shipping, rail, everything has to be brought to bear on this. That's the real lesson. It's not just the any one thing, but if there is one thing that's on top of most of the list of the port officials, certainly pipelines, getting them to connect. I mean, you look at the physical pipe, the physical importation points, and sometimes it comes down to one pipeline and bring natural gas into a facility. And whenever there's a one point of something coming in, it's a single point of failure. And That's billions of dollars at risk, tens of billions, really. So, you know, diversifying the amount of points of access of the petroleum coming in is, of course, vital for the port to operate. But the port has to focus on what the port can do. And right now they can hardly handle all the volume that, that's coming in now. But they need more. And they this is almost a decades long process to accommodate more. And that has been underway. It's sort of reaching a crescendo right now because of the market forces and because of the investment. But it's been going on for a long time. It's not like they're sprinkling water on it because of the Russia crisis. It's been something that's been developing a long time. I think 2014 is when the ban was lifted on exports. And that was sooner than they anticipated. So they were already playing catch up before this Russia situation happened. So they're really, the entire industry is sort of still trying to play catch up. So these are, you know, for all the talk of this investments and federal funding and everything, it's still a game of catch up. And that was before the Russia crisis. So right now there's a lot of, it's a very dynamic situation, as they say.
Is there, are there storage facilities on hand if they get those pipelines in? And where's the oil going to come from? The usual sources, or are they developing other fields to get into Corpus Christi?
Well, everyone loves the Permian Basin still. There's still so much that can be tapped to bring. That's about a, you know, the, if that was fully developed, that would keep the port busy almost in and of itself. So I think that's where they look primarily. But yeah, products come in on ships and leave on ships too for processing. The refining part and the storage part, there are more storage facilities being built. There's still talk of Corpus Christi being sort of a benchmark place where that you look to establish the price of crude, especially. So,
that would be Brent crude, West Texas crude, and Corpus Christi crude.
It would be one of the benchmark locations. So, you know, the capacity here is always going to be an issue because of every other issue when you're building these sort of infrastructure facilities, but they're very friendly to that down here. And there are you drive around and see them. There are new storage facilities that have been built to accommodate. That's supposed to continue as well.
We need to go to natural gas. I'm speaking to Joe Pappalardo, writing for Popular Mechanics and other distinguished publications, about the world as we live it right now. The demand for energy, fossil fuel energy, is as big as you want it to be because of the embargo, because of the unclear adversarial relationship with Russian energy over these next years. So when we come back, LNG at Corpus Christi. I'm John Batchelor.